says go home. Hey, what are you talking about? Yeah, that's good all the way around. I appreciate the good singing that we've enjoyed here tonight, and we bless the Lord for how good He's been, what He's doing, what He's done, what He's going to do. Take your Bible, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I just needed a place to be able to jump off there tonight. And 2 Timothy chapter number 4 is that place. Now, we use that every now and again here, there, and yon. But if you find the place in chapter number 4, verse number 2, if you're able to stand, I just want you to look there in the passage there. Now, in the passage, he said, verse number 2, preach the word. There's the title of the sermon tonight. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word tonight. We do thank you for it. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God to lead us, guide us, and direct us therein. Bless all these requests that have been mentioned tonight in accordance to thy word and in accordance to thy will, and we'll thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on preach the word. I can't tell you how many churches that I've been to that read a passage of scripture, and then they told their life story and their mama's life story and their grandpa's life story, and they preached everybody's life story except they never got down to the word of the Lord. Let me tell you, the only thing that'll make a difference in all these other illustrations, they might be good to help open up a window and make a point, but the word of God, buddy, is what's powerful and that will save you and snatch you as a brand from the burning. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you what it drives home to us. The greatest need the world has is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this lesson you're looking at, that Bible said over in the book of Romans chapter number 10, at about verse number, and you can turn there if you like, but in the book of Romans in chapter number 10, we pretty much know and can quote some of those passages there concerning about calling upon the name of the Lord. But I want to notice, if you will please, is that the greatest thing is the preaching of the word of the Lord. I got to remember to tell you something. Last March, God put me in the ministry 14 years ago. I wasn't wanting to be in. I wasn't trying to get in. But God put me in 49 years ago. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, Romans in chapter number 10, here's what he asks. How then, verse 14, how then shall they call in him on whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In the lesson there, you're going to find out is that not everybody believed, not everybody answered the call, not everybody believed the report. But let me tell you, it's a glorious and a wonderful thing to be able to obey God and giving out the gospel to a lost and to a dying world. In the lesson that we're looking at, it's the message of God. There's where the power's at. The message of our Lord and our Savior. Why do you think Paul the Apostle said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and then also the Greek. Make no mistake about it, the power is in the blood of the Lamb and in the power of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two is the message of God is a message of repentance. Now, I can't tell you how many times that people in days gone by have gotten into a confrontation over that they didn't believe that you could repent or that repentance was a work, trying to work your way. Do you know that repentance is a gift from God? Repentance isn't something man works out. If that's something you work up, you'll change your mind for your sweat from your garment dries back off. Repentance is something God grants unto those that get born again. It has nothing to do whatsoever with humanity. You couldn't work up a repentant heart if you tried to. In fact, you'll find that when John the Baptist came on the scene, he preached, repent and believe the gospel. Jesus Christ preached, repent and believe the gospel. Let me tell you, The Bible says over there in the book of Matthew, you know the reason why some of that crowd, after they was watching John the Baptist preach and saw some of those harlots get saved and some of those other people get saved, and he said, ye, after you seen it, you didn't repent, that afterwards you might believe. You show me somebody that God hadn't wrought repentance in their life, I'll show you somebody that hadn't believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? They're just going through the motions, trying to get their own credit. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out is that when John the Baptist came, he preached, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I'm going to tell you something, is that if you don't know him in the free pardon of sin, then you've never repented. You've never been granted repentance. You've never had the grace of God to show you yourself and your need and the gospel, the power of God and salvation that you might believe in. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that whenever a person repents, they change direction. Now, you know what it was? You once used to be on the broad road, and you was headed straight to hell. I'm not glad of that, but I'm glad you finally heard the gospel. God wrought repentance and faith in your heart, a repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he did that, God constituted a change in your heart and life that everybody around you can see. They didn't particularly like it, but I guarantee you they can tell the difference. Between just being, you know what makes your kin folks at a loss without God? You know what makes them irritated most about it? You've shown them there's a difference between being heaven bound and believing the gospel and hell bent and hell bound without believing the gospel, and they don't like what they're seeing and what they're up against. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that if you don't repent, you're never going to believe the gospel. The Bible preaches and teaches that the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believe in. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we use that quite every now and again, but the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross to them that is in the world is foolishness. But to us which believe, it's the power of God and the salvation. I got to tell you something. Is that whenever you get saved by the wonderful grace of God, it's because of the fact that you seen what it was in Christ that you needed, but you could never work up yourself. Now, do you know this? I know you do, but I'm going to ask anyway. Do you know the word preach is 47 times in the Bible, and there's 50 matches? In other words, that means it might be mentioned twice in one verse somewhere. Did you know the word preaching is 27 times in the Bible, 27 verses, and 27 matches that are in it? Do you know that the word preached, past tense, there's 59 verses and 61 matches of that one word? And did you know the word preacher, verse 11, there's 11 verses and there's 11 matches that are in it? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you're getting it or not, but what good will that do you except for this? But in God's mentioned preached, preaching, and preacher a whole lot in the Bible. And the reason being is because that until a person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, until somebody with the touch and power of God preaches the word to you, you're never going to get saved by the grace of God. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that what we've learned is by reading that, what the world needs is a preacher. But they want a praise leader. What the world needs by that is the gospel preached unto them, but they're not interested in that. You know why? It lays a demand at the heart's door. You know what some of the bigger coliseums and people that have gathered in days gone by, they like to listen to that psychology. Now here's what psychology does. It makes you feel good about yourself like you are without the need to repent. It just, when you walk into the house of God, buddy, you ought not to leave out just feeling so good like you and Jesus is just bosom buddies. I got to tell you, when you read about those little excerpts that somebody said, I saw Jesus, I died and saw Jesus, liar, 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 your pants are going to be on fire. That's just a lie. You saw the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd still be with him. These testimonies they use of these kids that died on the... No, they didn't. You show me a kid that, buddy, that saw Jesus face to face, and I'll show you somebody. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. dying. Let me tell you, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, did they pass out and go through some kind of rigmarole and all that? Sure, sure, I'm not knocking that. I'm just trying to tell you right now, if you ever get into where the throne room's at and you see the Lord and Savior Jesus, I read about one nut, and here's what he just broke down. He said, I was headed straight to hell whenever finally they showed me Jesus. He's lying. You're going to get saved in this life, and if you don't, the Bible said God will not stretch out his hand toward the grave, even though they cry in his destruction. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, we need some preachers, we need some preaching, but the world's looking for a praise leader. Over there in the book of Jonah, and I'll give you a moment to find it in the book of Jonah. See, what they need is they need a preacher that'll preach the blessed word of the Lord, that'll preach heaven real and hell hot, that'll use the Bible. See, they're interested in praising God with a little bun back there on their head on those, you know. And now, Brother Darrell preached on that, preached against that here the other day, and so God bless him. But every time I see one of them little men with that little bun, I never even noticed them too much. I mean, you used to see the hippies and this and that all around, but now that they've got that little man bun back there and it looks so cute and all of that, it makes me want to puke. And I'm wondering if they go to that same church that more than likely are one just as low. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, the world needs a preacher, and they don't need a praise leader. Now, in the book of Jonah, the Bible said in chapter number 3 over there in the book of Jonah, you remember Jonah was sent over there to Nineveh, that wicked, godless city. And as they went over there, he said in verse number 1 and 2, let's look at that and see what it says. He says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying. Now, I'm going to tell you, he's already had a whale of a ride before now. By now. I'm telling you right now is that the word of the Lord comes to him the second time. You know, if God's got something he wants you to do, you better listen by the second time. You may have whale vomit all over you. He said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Look at that. So Jonah arose and he went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Let me tell you, it was a pretty good sized place. And I'm going to tell you right now is God had in mind to be able to preach the word of the Lord. Jonah did not want to go, did not want them to get saved, did not want them to repent and believe. And that's the reason why he ran from God and took that ship to where was it, Tarsus. And as a result of that, God found him over there, and man, they had to finally throw him overboard, though they didn't want to. And after he spent about 3 days and nights in that whale's belly and crying out to God, he is ready to go wherever God wanted him to go. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that in the days of John the Baptist, over there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 3, we read every now and again, we pass by there. And let me tell you right now, Jesus preached repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. Remember, they came to his baptism in Matthew in chapter number 3. And as a result of that, in verse number 1, in those days, John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he goes down and preaches what was spoken of Isaiah. And he goes on down there and he tells that religious crowd showing up for the baptistry and for the baptism. And he said, who has warned you to flee the wrath to come? The average Baptist church in the day, they're not going to ask that. They're just so glad to get another baptism. As a result of that, you're going to find out that Jesus went about all Galilee. Look in Matthew chapter 4 and look there in about verse number 23, that passage there. And the Bible said, and Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Now that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Matthew chapter number 9, the Bible said, when you look over there, Matthew chapter number 9, it's about verse number 35, is that our Lord and Savior is a preacher of the gospel. We don't have time to cover all the places that it has, but in verse 35 in Matthew 9, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I got to tell you something, our Lord and our Savior was a preacher. And let me say to you that, if you will, that he preached the very message that he commands you and I, and that is the gospel message of salvation. Now, you're going to be turning in the book of Psalm 150, and we're going to be looking at that as we get ready to close. You remember over there in the book of Acts, the Bible said that the disciples, they were scattered and they went everywhere. You know what they were doing as they went? Preaching. And let me tell you right now is that I like to be able to praise and magnify and exalt the name of the Lord. I do. In fact is, do you realize and know that the word praise, there's 216 verses about it in the Bible, and there's some 248 matches. But let me just tell you that real praise comes from being really saved. See the difference? So I'm not against praise. I'm against people that want to bypass everything God had to say, have all the fun they possibly can religiously, and without really knowing him and the free pardon of sin. All right, in the book of Psalm, they're talking about praise for a minute. And real praise comes from the Bible, not from men wearing buns. And real praise, but is because you're real saved. Verse 1, Psalms 150. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in the sanctuary. You know, there's where you start out. When you get saved by the grace of God, he'll put you in the house of God. That's what the sanctuary is. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet, and praise him with a psaltery and harp. Praise him with the tremble and dance, and praise him with stringed instruments and organs. And praise him upon the loud cymbals, and praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Now, I want you to notice something, if you will, please. See if you can do this right here. See if you can inhale as much as you can. And now exhale and read the last verse. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you can breathe tonight, God said, if you've got breath, you ought to praise God for it. Now, I can tell you right now, praise ye the Lord. I don't know about you, but we've got much to be praising God and thanking him about. Number one is, we're hell-proof. Number two is, we're heaven-bound. Do you realize and know that heaven is a pure place? I mean, it's a pure city. It's got a pure street of gold on it. Do you realize and know that not only is it a pure place, but when you read the Bible and all the decorations and all the things that'll make you stop and stand in awe, it's a very pretty place. Very pretty place. I went on over there to that Beaumont where Miss Diane was. We went to see her. And they had a Christmas tree when you first walk in, a Christmas tree, no ornaments, no nothing on it. I mean, it was just sitting there, and I walked in. I said, hey, Merry Christmas to all of you. Oh, we just had a birthday party for somebody. They used and decorated all of that business there up and all that. I said, oh, I'll get excited about when I see a Christmas tree. Yeah. I want to say to you that, if you will, that as much as you and I look at one of those and we drive around and look at those Christmas lights and see how beautiful that it is, and I've discovered a place or two. Some of you have helped me find a place or two. That if Santa Claus was real and was going to live here during December, I found a place or two that I think he would live in. That's how pretty it is. But when I look at all that man's done in decorating, does not compare with the beauty and the glory and the splendor and the might of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Heaven's a pretty place. Last but not least, I want to say to you, heaven's a permanent place. And by that, I don't mean it's a place you can go and get your hair curled, ladies. I'm talking about it's never going to change. It's always going to be exactly the way God intended for it to do. So the next time, you know, the next time somebody, you're getting a chance to talk with them and God opens up the door, maybe a couple of